Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley and I'm joined tonight for a discussion of the year so far by everyone's favorite, JB.
In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me a piece of advice that I've been running over in my mind ever since. Before you criticize a movie, he said, just remember, all movies haven't had the advantages that you've had.
You can find our website at fthismovie.net. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/fthismovie. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/fthismovie. Find us in the iTunes store by searching F This Movie. And if you like the show, you're a fan, you want to leave us a positive review or a nice star rating, we would surely appreciate it. And you can always email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
And you can visit my house and I'll give you meat on a skewer.
Delicious meat.
Are we going to forego What Have You Seen Lately because it will be subsumed by the general conversation?
I guess we could if you would like to. We're doing this show because last year we did the year so far sort of as like a fill-in. It was like, well, we don't know what else to do. Let's talk about the last few months.
Because last year, summer didn't start quite as early as it, what was it this year, May?
No, it was probably around the same time.
Iron
it was
Man
Avengers,
3.
Right? But last year.
Was it that early in May?
It was pretty early because my daughter was born the 12th, and I was going to be mad at her if she was born before the Avengers came out.
And my son graduated from college.
Yes, and that's where you saw it,
and
right?
That's where I wound up seeing Avengers.
So it tends to start around the same time. But so everybody loved it so much, he says, that we decided to do it again.
I could talk about Gatsby, but everyone read my epic takedown of Gatsby yesterday.
Shitting on the classics, making a rare comeback appearance. It's
I
a special
triumphant
movie.
Return.
It's a special movie that calls shitting on the classics back out of retirement.
And by special movie, you mean one designed for people in special education.
Perhaps. I have not seen The Great Gatsby. I apologize. No, the trailers kind of put me off. Maybe I just don't have a ton of patience for Baz Luhrmann.
There's a reason it got pushed forward from Christmas.
To perfect the 3D. I'm aware that's the reason that everything is being... And yet, they pulled the same move with G.I. Joe. They said, well, we're putting it ahead, I think it was like 9 months. That was supposed to come out last summer. They said, we're going to put it out in the spring. We have to post-convert it to 3D. And yet, G.I. Joe made a ton of money. And Gatsby's supposed to come out last Christmas, and they move it to March. And it made a bunch of money.
And if it weren't for Iron Man 3, it would have been the number one film of the weekend, and even with Iron Man 3, it made $51 million.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of babysitting money floating around.
So let's get right into talking about the year so far. I'm going to do my best not to just be totally negative, because as we've talked about on
let's
the podcast so far, last year we were sort of marveling at, hey, there's a lot of movies that have come out that have been interesting or even really good in the first few months of the year, which doesn't always happen.
And I would argue that's the same this year.
Okay.
With the caveat that this has been a schizophrenic year.
Okay.
Because the highs are high, but the lows are pretty low.
I haven't even found that many high highs yet.
Well, as you saw before we started the machine, I've placed little arrows and stars,
yes,
as convenient ways of reminding me what I thought.
Okay. Do you want to start with things that you've liked thus far?
I would like you to start with things you liked.
I have not liked very much, and I'm noticing that the things that I have seen and really liked are much smaller movies than I'm used to, and I don't want to turn into indie douchebag man, but a lot of sort of the bigger Hollywood movies have disappointed me a little bit.
And the same is true for me.
Yeah, and some of the movies that I've really liked aren't out yet, because I saw a bunch of movies at the Chicago Critics Film Festival. They don't come out till later in the year. They will be among my favorites of the year.
They're slowly starting, though.
Perhaps, yeah.
And it really made me wish that I had attended more of those screenings, because someone just told me about them, and I said, those don't look interesting, and I was wrong, because then in the subsequent weeks you reviewed them, and that one film in particular looks just...
I Declare War?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's my favorite movie of the year so far, I think, and it's not out yet, so I won't really include it on this list because that's not fair to everybody. So right now...
Well, the F in F this movie is frustration. Patrick will discuss films that you can't see. Nah, nah, nah.
My favorite movie of the year, I think, that has come out is Spring Breakers, which I never would have predicted back in January.
Not in a million years. And I can't remember if I saw it before or after the podcast. But for a number of reasons, Harmony Korine, James Franco, I went. And what I got was so different. And I wondered if that was part of the plan, that we're going to market this as something it ain't. Which, of course, leads to all young people being really angry when the film is over, or really angry when they leave the theater and wander into another theater that's showing G.I. Joe.
My wife described one young person's frustrated reaction. They sort of dismissively called it art. Like, I didn't like it, that was art.
Which is interesting, because lately, and I think we may have posted a link on Twitter, Steven Soderbergh's favorite speech, where he just begins by saying, there's movies, and there's cinema. And I think that was part of my problem with Gatsby, that I was expecting cinema, and what I got was a movie. Spring Breakers is excellent, though, and it deserves all of your attention, because it's saying all these interesting things. I would say a typically good James Franco performance, but of course he's also responsible for one of the bigger stinkers of the year. So an atypically excellent performance from Franco recently? I don't know.
Well, again, he seems to be good in smaller movies. I mean, he just got swallowed up, I think, by...
It's that old edict that you make one for the studio and one for yourself, and the ones that he makes for himself. I'm still such a fan of Howl, which I've recommended on Netflix, this movie, and I think I've talked about in some other forum. He's so good in that. Again, playing against type.
Yeah.
In fact, in that he plays Allen Ginsberg, a human being that he neither looks nor sounds like, and yet in the movie, using acting, he pulls it off.
Another movie I liked a lot this year was Stoker, which kind of came and went, and not a ton of people saw. I won't claim that it's a great movie, but it was interesting, and it was different from everything else I've seen this year. If you don't remember it, it's the English language debut of Park Chan-wook, who made Old Boy and Lady Vengeance.
Does he have another movie coming out?
No.
Okay, I'm confusing him with someone else.
Yeah, there's several...
three-syllable Asian directors.
Who have American... Kim Ji-woon had The Last Stand, and Park Chan-wook had that movie, and there's... I don't remember the other... Bong Joon-ho maybe has his movie coming out this year. I don't remember.
But I think I've seen the trailer in front of something.
Yeah.
As opposed to after it.
It's demented, and it's the kind of movie that, again, people going in not knowing what to expect come out very angry or just walk out halfway through the movie. But it's very interesting, and I really liked it.
I'm surprised anyone walks out anymore, because Friday night, my lovely wife and I went to the movies at night, which we don't usually do because it's crowded with people who are a pain in the ass, quite frankly. And it had been a while since we went at night, and when the guy behind the glass said, here's what it costs, right? Yeah. I understood now why there's glass between you and the ticket seller, because at 10 o'clock in the morning when we usually go, it's $6.50, which I like better.
I think they just bumped it another quarter, not the morning show. I mean, overall admission prices, I think, just got bumped another 25 to 50 cents.
Oh, boy.
For just a regular 2D non-IMAX.
And I haven't done the math about inflation or anything. Right. But when I went to high school, which was a long time before you went to high school, and I'm guessing when you went to high school, a movie was pretty much the cheapest thing you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. No more.
Other than huffing. I'm told that's cheap.
What have you liked so far this year?
Okay, I'm looking at my list, and I'm realizing that because we don't live in New York or Los Angeles, frequently January and February is catch-up time for movies.
For the 2012 movies.
Right, that didn't make it. So I'm thinking, I really remember that Not Fade Away was a 2012 release.
Correct.
that sort of, I was surprised that it got out to the suburbs at all, and I've already written a column about it. I really recommend it. I love Spring Breakers. I thought it was so refreshing that something would actually try to do something other than give young men something to look at while they're okay. I believed I like Side Effects a lot more than you did.
That's possible.
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I thought it was Soderbergh's Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, well, yeah.
The twist didn't bother me as much as it bothered you.
I wasn't so much bothered by the twist. Again, I don't want to spoil too much of Side Effects, but I just... It was very early. There was a run of these movies in the early 90s, and I was never really a fan. And this is a very well-made version of that, but it's still that.
No, and I think that's what I was responding to, that it was Steven Soderbergh. Something that surprised me, and maybe it shouldn't, is it played in theaters for a really long time.
I sort of think, because it didn't really make money, Soderbergh himself said as much in that now famous speech, I think they just don't have product. Like, I think they don't have things to put out.
See, if something stays, I assume that at least it's having steady business.
It must. There's no way that they're just showing it to empty theaters.
Because there are other things, and here Patrick and I are talking about this theater near us that we frequent a lot. I've seen things get pulled after a week. Now, whether that's a contractual thing where we promised you a release in X number of theaters, but the second that's up, it's gone.
I remember when I went to see Southland Tales played from Friday to Tuesday.
Wow.
Because it was like the week of Thanksgiving, and they always put the movies out on Wednesday, Thanksgiving week. And so they yanked it when the Wednesday movies came out. But yeah, if you didn't see it in those 4 or 5 days, that was your chance.
There's a film that came out this year, I'm guessing you haven't seen it, where I think it should have run for less time than that. I think it should have run, but not run, because a scientist saw it on Friday and invented a time machine to go back in time and either convince the manager of AMC South Burlington not to show it, or to maybe arrange the space-time continuum so that it only showed in a nanosecond or in negative space time. Okay. I'm not real good when it comes to the science.
All right.
And that, of course, was movie 43.
Oh, I did not see movie 43.
I'm going to make a button. I saw movie 43 in a movie theater. Oh, my God. Don't.
Before kids, my wife and I would always make it a point to go see some weird thing that, like, oh, it's only playing at this one theater and it shouldn't be in theaters at all. Let's go. And so we can say that we saw this crazy movie in a theater. So I would have been all over movie 43, but sadly I missed it. Great cast. And I actually thought the trailer wasn't the worst, but I never saw it.
There was one funny segment where it was also the shortest segment, where they were suggesting that there were certain forms of technology where there was actually a small child inside of the machine, like a Xerox machine,
right,
that it's a small child in there actually doing the work.
Isn't that just the Flintstones?
Well, no, and I don't think they were like making a social comment about child labor, but the idea was don't jostle the machine. Don't kick the machine. Don't abuse the machine, because there's a child in there and you might hurt the child. And it was like 2.5 minutes long and it made me laugh. Other highlights of the year so far. I believe we both like Lords of Salem.
Yes.
It was so much better than what I was expecting, because now, can't we honestly say, when you go to a Rob Zombie movie, you don't know if you're going to get House of 1,000 Corpses or... where's my brain?
I want to jump in and help, but I don't know which one you're using House of 1,000 Corpses as an example of. Is that the
Crazy
movie or the
Family
bad movie?
In the Hotel?
Yeah, no, that's... Are you talking about Devil's Rejects?
Yeah.
Okay. And see, I like House of 1,000 Corpses, so I didn't know if that was your example of the good Rob Zombie.
And you see, I don't like it as much as Devil's Rejects.
I don't either.
I really, really like Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
And I did not like... I know you've talked about his Halloween reimagining.
Yes.
But, so Devil's Rejects is it for me, and I didn't know what to expect, and I wanted to see it really early so I wouldn't be influenced, or God forbid they pull it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was so much better than it had any right to be. It was full of ideas. It was genuinely scary, I thought, in a way that I like movies to be scary. I think we've talked about that.
Well, and his movies in the past have been scary sort of just out of the sort of unrelenting brutality.
Right.
Like, the world is a horrible place where everyone wants to murder you. And that wasn't this movie.
It was creepy.
Yeah.
In fact, I think you brought up some other filmmakers, but when I saw it, my first reaction was, this is a Stanley Kubrick script directed by David Lynch.
Sure.
And there's another filmmaker that he gets compared to that I'm leaving out, but it's basically Lords of Salem is Kubrick, Lynch, and who's the third one?
Gary Marshall. I believe it's Gary Marshall.
Well, you know that scene on New Year's Eve when all the witches are looking for dates.
I did not realize that was Meg Foster playing the main witch until the end credits.
Some considerable prosthetic makeup on the majority, if I'm thinking of the right character.
The main witch.
But at one point, she's like...
Yeah, I don't know that that's prosthetic makeup.
Oh, no, there's no way.
I don't know.
She's, like, nude and decomposed.
She's not officially decomposed. No, she's just perhaps older.
I loved in the apartment with the three witches that each of those three actresses came up with this very specific thing. And I like Dee Wallace anyway, because I've seen her at a show. Very soon she'll be nominated to the Kick-Ass Hall of Fame. Hmm. She's really, really sweet. And she was like the sweet witch. Yeah. She was like the polite witch.
Daffy was the word I would use to describe her.
I thought that was really funny, considering what they're up to.
Sure. Yeah, I liked that movie. I like that movie. That's definitely one of the better movies I've seen this year.
And now we move on to a film that Patrick has called two-thirds of a good movie.
Oh, yes. We haven't talked about this yet.
Since I saw it, we're talking about A Place Beyond the Pines.
Yes.
My estimation of it has risen.
Interesting.
Because the last third is diminishing, and I keep fixating on the first third. Because the Ryan Gosling third is something.
Yes, I would agree.
And then the Brad Cooper third is something else.
Yes.
I'll say this. when I first saw it, and we got to that difficult final third.
Yes.
That was really sinking it for me, because in essence, I thought it was going to turn the entire movie into a Shaggy Dog story, and here's how these two met, you know?
Sure, it kind of did.
I'm much more forgiving about it now, because when I look at everything else that's come out this year so far, I take A Place Beyond the Pines. I'll take Flawed over nothing.
Well, so would I. So would I.
I'll take glass half full over glass shards.
But I still have to be honest about what Place Beyond the Pines is, and we can't talk about it too much without spoiling.
It's very episodic.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil things, but I just felt like for the movie to work in the way that it needs to work, I'm going to articulate something with my hands now, so sorry to everyone who's listening. The structure is this, and it gets to this very small place.
Patrick is miming a funnel.
An inverse triangle, if you will. For it to land, this very small place that it ends up at, because it's sort of epic, and then it gets down to this small thing, really needs to land if you're going to place the whole movie on the shoulders of these two characters.
And it doesn't at all.
And it doesn't.
No.
At all, and that was my problem.
And that's a significant problem.
Yeah.
But again...
There's great stuff in it. There's greatness in it.
Yes.
I will absolutely agree with that.
And now...
Are we to bad stuff already?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
One more film we have to discuss.
Oh, yeah, let's.
Mostly based on your review.
Okay.
I approached Upstream Color trepidatiously.
Okay.
Because I am not a fan of pretentious nonsense.
Right. I deliberately wasn't going to recommend it to you because I thought, well, this could just be Black Swan all over again.
No. Don't even mention those two films in the same breath. You have a skewed perspective. You feel you know what I would like and what I wouldn't like.
I think a lot of times I'm right.
Do I not sometimes surprise you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you liked Mamma Mia. That blew me away. By the way, that was a cheap joke. That's years ago.
No. I will fully cop to that.
I know you will. You have never
made excuses. It was fun. I know. It was lighthearted. Yes. It was just what it wanted to be.
I know.
And it was in the summer.
I should have said you liked Gangster Squad. That's what I should
have. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Okay, good.
I was wrong about that.
Okay, thank God.
I was wrong. Do you know what that was? I don't want to jump the
topic
movies? Here. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I get that.
I like movies with yeah. guns. When I went to see Mamma Mia, it was like visiting Greece.
You do not have to defend like
And
Mamma
it was
Mia.
Beautiful to look at. I know it's...
If we were keeping score, I have way more Mamma Mias than you do, so it's okay.
Okay. So I was going to rent it, but then I happened to visit Best Buy because I had some reward certificates, and it was for sale.
Yeah.
This is for sale at Best Buy? Ooh, upscale. So I bought it, and I watched it largely based on your review, and I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Cool.
I had never seen a film by him before. I haven't seen
Primer. Yeah.
Now I want to.
It's on Netflix.
I thought it did an incredible job of being concrete and metaphoric at the same time.
Okay.
And actually, yesterday, my son borrowed it and watched it with a friend, and he really, really liked it, too, and he's seen Primer. His sticking point was, there's a middle section with a character known as the Sampler,
yeah.
which he felt didn't work, literally. It only worked as a metaphor.
Okay.
And that was the part of the film that was most Lynchian
yeah.
in what we were expected to, you know, understand.
Yeah.
It's so rare that you have a film like this that doesn't go off into the sky and yet can support multiple interpretations.
Yeah.
In your review, you said a lot of critics are saying it's about codependency and substance.
Yeah, addiction.
Addiction.
Yeah.
I watched it and I really thought he was trying to say something about abuse.
Okay.
About the nature of abuse. That while he's portraying it as a financial crime at the beginning, that's a metaphor for abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And the ways in which we can draw ourselves up and get over that.
Mm-hmm.
I found the final shot unbelievably touching. Which is amazing when you consider
right.
what the final shot is.
Right.
But it worked for me. It
cool.
made me wish I had seen it during its very short run yeah. at the patio, because you had even said in your review, see this in a movie theater.
Which I did not.
It is beautifully shot. It is
yeah.
strikingly visual and not in a way we're used to. It certainly has a kind of an indie look, but I thought his talent for framing shots and lighting was impeccable.
And he was his own cinematographer on that, and his own editor, and his own composer, and he wrote and directed and starred in the movie.
And the music is very affecting.
Yeah.
And I especially like the performance from the lead female, Amy Simons.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, she's asked to do a lot of
and
things.
And she's one of the people that Soderbergh, we keep going back to that speech, he name checks in that speech, and Shane Carruth is another one. He says, I wish somebody would give me, I forget the amount, $500 million, and I can just disperse it. And Shane Carruth, what do you want to do? And Amy Simons, what do you want to do? Because she's a filmmaker also.
I would go see anything else that he made
yeah.
based on this film.
Cool.
You got to be patient.
Yeah.
Although, here's another thing to consider. Upstream Color is 90 minutes. That's an hour shorter than The Great Gatsby.
Than a lot of movies, actually, that come out now, because you had mentioned in your column Pain and Gain,
which is
2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 is a long movie. A lot of these blockbusters now, I don't know if they feel the need to be over 2 hours to give us our money's worth. Or
we should include Iron Man 3. I believe, based on the podcast, that I liked it more than you.
Okay.
My quarrel with these comic book movies is,
yeah.
first of all, there's too many of them.
There is.
So could we have movies about people not in funny suits?
What about baby pigs?
Well, we just saw one. But it seemed to me that we had talked about this. It's the Van Helsing phenomenon, that the minute it becomes CGI and people are batting each other around, everyone's invincible, why do I care? And it seems like Shane Black went back to David Mamet's definition of drama. We have a protagonist that we care about, and he wants to accomplish something, and the drama comes from the obstacles that we place in the protagonist's way.
Mm-hmm.
And Iron Man 3 was all about keeping him human, keeping him from accomplishing what he wanted to accomplish, which I'm more interested in as a human being
sure.
than two robots fighting which is when I check out.
Well, two things. One of my issues with the movie, and again, I like the movie, and it's just been a miserable week because I'm now the guy who didn't like it enough. And every time one of these movies comes out, I have to be that guy, and that sucks because I like these movies. I agree that on a case-by-case basis, in the span of individual scenes, it's very much, what is he trying to do? How can we stop him? But I feel like one of the problems with the movie is that sort of this bigger idea of what does he want to accomplish doesn't exist. What does he want to accomplish?
Well, I'd have to think about that, but I think the easy answer is that there is some ambiguity in the film about what he wants to do with the rest of his life and if he even wants to keep doing this.
Right.
I agree with you, though, that it would be a stronger film if there was more of an overarching
right.
goal.
Right.
I gave it a lot of credit for being fun.
Sure.
Because lately I'm not having fun at the movies unless it's Gangster Squad. And I also liked when Gwyneth Paltrow was allowed to wear the suit for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that was...
Yeah, and again,
that was fun.
That's one of the things that's being called out, but I thought only he could wear the suit, because he tells Don Cheadle at the end, sorry, they're coded to me, so how can Gwyneth... And there's tons of those little things, and those aren't... That's I'm not interested in sitting down and nitpicking, but this and this and this, because movies don't work that way.
No, I agree, though, that I thought that what he says at the end seems to negate that.
Devin Faraci has this great example about Jurassic Park, where he talks about that T-Rex attack, and if you actually think about the geography of the T-Rex attack, where they were when it was missing and where they are, it makes no sense that it basically climbed out of this pit in no time. He says, but that doesn't matter, because the sequence works.
And the movie's so good, you don't stop and ask yourself.
Exactly.
That.
And so I'm not interested in nitpicking things. The other quick thing I was going to say about Iron Man 3, you said you're not interested when it becomes about robots and suits fighting. I thought, to some extent, the finale of Iron Man 3, which I liked better than the finales of the past two Iron Mans, sort of paid tribute to that, where so much of the crazy robots fighting and destruction was happening in the background of shots of people talking to each other.
Yeah.
That it was sort of this weird throwaway. Like, who cares about that? Let's stick to the humans talking.
But for those of you who need to see robots fighting,
right,
it's in the background.
Right. So I thought, I liked a lot of the ways that he sort of subverted some of the things that we've come to expect from those movies.
Okay. Let's talk about badness and sadness.
All right.
And horror. And then we'll talk about some things we're looking forward to seeing.
Yeah,
some things coming up.
That's fine. I don't even have like a ton of... I haven't seen that many movies that I've outright sort of loathed this year.
And that's where we differ.
I'm just indifferent about so many of them.
Oh.
Incredible Burt Wonderstone. I haven't thought about since I saw it. It's not a good movie. I'm completely indifferent towards it.
I'm still angry that I went.
Why?
I would like to have that money back. And 2 hours of my life.
But you got to see a movie. Like, and now you know how you feel about that movie. I don't know.
I think I saw that with you.
Yeah. I don't
that
usually
was one of the
regret...
rare instances where Patrick would be seen with me in public.
Yeah. It was dark.
Where I didn't have to be in the cage.
So I just find myself... Oblivion is a movie that I was just sort of indifferent towards. It's not the worst. It's
not
that good.
I skipped it. And
you're fine.
Thanks to enough podcasts and reviews.
Yeah.
That promised to be spoiler-free but weren't.
Yeah.
I think I've assembled it in my head.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm not upset that I missed that.
No, you're fine. Warm Bodies is another movie that I saw that, like, that wasn't the worst, but I've forgotten it.
I saw the trailer, I was really kind of in love with the premise of that.
They don't...
'Cause it would be two things that need to meet. But...
Right, and they don't...
Okay.
Do much with it, unfortunately. Again, not the worst, but just everything has just left me sort of like indifferent. I don't know.
Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Which I have not seen, but it's coming out on Blu-ray, and I genuinely want to see it.
Oh, you need to see it.
I really want to.
It was January 4th.
Yeah.
It's a new year. I think I was still on winter break.
Yeah.
I'm going to the movies! I like horror movies. I have an 18-inch tall statue of Leatherface in my basement. Oh, my God.
And I think, and that movie made a bunch of money the weekend it came out. It made like $20 million, and then the second weekend it made like nothing. Like, it's one of the biggest drop-offs maybe in history.
It's really bad. It's lazy. It's boring. It's repellent.
But the little bit that I read made it sound like batshit crazy, and that's why I want to see it.
There's one thing that's batshit crazy, okay. But in the final analysis, I even think that's boring.
Okay. I keep going back to, again, I've only read about it, Do Your Thing, because...
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm like, oh, I have to see the movie that gets us to that point.
But... I can save you some time.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
DVDs generally have chapters.
Except for...
David Lynch does not like...
Specifically Mulholland Drive.
I wish I could do... My son does the best David Lynch impression you've ever heard. I wish I could summon that and do David Lynch admonishing you to watch a movie from the beginning and don't just skip to the scene where Naomi Watts and that other chick are in bed together. Gangster Squad, you were right. I was wrong. You can hit my knuckles with a ruler. That was a case of I'm at the movies.
And it's certainly...
It looked and sounded like a movie.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like it's entertaining in the big picture, you know, because stuff happens and it's actors I like, but it just was all so dumb. Like,
and the,
it was so stupid.
The Sean Penn performance.
Oh my gosh.
Problematic. It's like he's channeling Al Pacino in Dick Tracy, and no one told him that Al Pacino was playing a comic strip character in Dick Tracy.
A lot of people seem to be... in a different movie in Gangster Squad. I mean, Josh Brolin seems bored. Ryan Gosling is just kind of phoning in. I'm cool. And Emma Stone is...
miscast.
Incredibly miscast.
Really? I mean, that...
She has a ton of charm, but, like, sexy femme fatale is not one of them.
Okay, good. I'm not alone in...
I like Emma Stone a lot.
That's where I was going, and I like Emma Stone too, but in that particular story, I was like, really? Men fighting over her?
That's not her wheelhouse.
Because of her sexy sex?
What else?
I thought they'd be fighting over her to protect her because she's everyone's sister. Movie 43,
right.
It's just horrible. I guess I later read about it. It was made over years,
yeah,
like a little bit at a time, and the same show, and the whole appeal is big stars doing material that's gross.
Beneath them.
Way beneath them. Incredible Burt Wonderstone, like you said, yawn and you'll miss it. Oz the Great and Powerful, which I almost didn't see because I listened to your podcast, which warned me against it. But then it played at the patio, which has this beautiful screen. And the film starts in Academy ratio. And then when the tornado comes, we get the Mad Max effect.
The first 10 minutes of that movie are pretty great. And
yeah.
They get you excited.
Although I would argue, for them to suggest that Oz had an affair with Auntie M before she married Uncle Henry... is that deliberately so that, like, people will watch the 1939 film now and go, ho, ho, ho? It's...
But again, what that implies...
it seems so offhand.
...is demented.
Yeah.
Because that means that Oz sent Dorothy to go kill the woman that he fucked over.
Right.
Hey, daughter, I know this is dangerous, but can you go kill my one-night stand? Thanks.
But there's a bigger problem.
Okay. I feel like that's a pretty big problem.
This is even bigger.
All right.
In The Wizard of Oz, the 1939 film,
yes.
The black and white stuff is real.
Right.
The color stuff is a dream.
Correct.
If you don't accept that because you're schizophrenic or something, then Professor Marvel is... because Frank Morgan plays both characters...
Right.
It doesn't make any
sense
unless... Oz the Great and Powerful suggests that what happens in Dorothy's mind in the original is real.
Which was the problem when I saw the trailer. Like, hey, I thought it was a dream sequence. How can we see a movie about another guy who actually goes there?
Exactly.
To which everyone says, no, 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 the 39 movie took liberties. This is more based on the books.
True.
And the books, it was a real place. And, okay,
but
I'll buy that.
But leads to another river.
Why do they keep, then, calling attention to the 39 movie? If your goal is, we're sticking to the books.
They're doing fan service.
Then stop doing that.
From the 39 movie. In the original book, which I've actually read, Oz is real.
Yes.
But there are other L. Frank Baum books. It's a series
right.
with all these other beloved characters, which Oz the Great and Powerful ignores.
Right.
That's
because it's only about the 39 movie.
Right. To say, oh, well, there's this. Well, then why didn't you adapt one of those books? Because
right.
the other books are charming.
But this is the era in which we live now. And I am guilty of this as well. I know. When we like something, we make excuses for its shortcomings. And it's happening. Comic book movies are a great example because all these reviews and articles come out after the fact with all these nitpicks, and then you read the comments section, and it's people filling in gaps that really don't deserve to be filled in. It's like, you are bringing way more to this than the movie does, so that's not fair. But this is what happens now, and so when we say, hey, how can Oz exist? It was a fantasy. No, it's based on the books. But then why do they keep just talking about the 39 movie? Well, and everybody has a reason for everything.
Because we have to have a reason to talk to each other. I talked to one of my students today who's a big...
I love it. Like, I know that you're sort of annoyed by that.
It's the...
Why do we have to talk to each other?
It's the John Cleese waiter character in Meaning of Life handing out the conversation cards right. to the tourist couple. Right. Here's something to talk about. I was talking to a student today who I discovered was a huge comic book fan.
Nice.
And Iron Man 3 came up, and he had the usual beef with Iron Man 3.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I had not experienced that firsthand.
Get over it.
But I actually thought that comic book fans would be capable of delighting in the extent to which they had been hoodwinked, largely by the marketing of the film.
Right.
I thought, in a weird way, it was just like Spring Breakers, that they were using the advertising campaign as part of the subterfuge.
No, comic book fans don't, like, the hardcore comic book fans don't like when you cast somebody who doesn't look enough like the part. They get up in arms. A lot of people were upset when they cast Shailene Woodley, the daughter from The Descendants. She's playing Mary Jane Watson in the new Spider-Man reboot sequel. And the quote-unquote internet comic book community, whatever you want to call it, were up in arms because she's not hot enough. So there you go.
Oh, good That's, Lord.
This is who you're dealing with.
What this reminds me of is Harlan Ellison, a very famous science fiction writer, once gave a speech that fans did not take kindly to, where the thesis of the speech was, science fiction fans have no sense of humor at all beyond the pun.
Ah.
They love the pun, love the pun, which he pointed out is the lowest form
right,
of humor.
Right.
And he had all these examples of humorless.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. We did a podcast on Evil Dead.
Ah, I forgot about Evil Dead. I don't even think I wrote it down. Oh, yeah, I did.
One of my proudest moments as a man on this planet. This will show you how far I've sunk. One of my proudest moments as a man on this planet is at the end of the podcast when Adam admits that though he started the podcast liking it more than us, we had convinced him that he
the
was
same
wrong.
Thing happened on, I think, Pain and Gain, that he started liking it more than me, and by the end he had decided it was no good.
And Pain and Gain is on my list, and I usually... don't like movies my students like, and vice versa.
Right.
And when I talk about movies, they stare at me, because I'm assuming they have a degree of respect or affection for me, but when I talk about movies, they look at me like I spilled ink on their carpet, because I'm just so contrary. Every student I've talked to who has seen Pain and Gain hated it.
Good.
And they've all used the same two words to describe it. Pointless and ugly.
I'm glad to hear ugly. Pointless, I've talked about before.
Just, they're aware of how mean-spirited that film is for no purpose.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because, again, I'm sort of, in a way, glad that it exists, A, because it showed everybody that, you know, no, Michael Bay is not capable of doing more, and B, it was another example of him showing the world who he actually is as a human being, which is a black, horrible thing. But it's not a good movie.
And here we'll bring up film trivia, and I'm hoping you can answer this. You bring up Michael Bay. I'm summoning a scene from a movie. I can't remember what movie it is. Is it possible that there's more to him than meets the eye? Oh, no, there's less. There's much less.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I could not for the life of me tell you what that's from.
Okay, listeners, in the comments section, tell me... what movie we're talking about.
Yeah.
Or could it be a Seinfeld episode and he's talking about Newman? Could there be more to Newman than we think? Oh, no, there's less. There's much less.
Yeah, I don't know.
That might be
I'm familiar with
episode.
The quote. And I'm fascinated. I started off this podcast by saying I did not want to be negative. But I'm fascinated by sort of the short-term memory of, again, in particular these sort of internet movie community of which I suppose we are a part, because
well, you are.
Pain and Gain comes out, and all of a sudden, everybody's talking about Michael Bay, and this is his best movie, and this is what he should be doing, and this is a real Michael Bay movie. And then a week later, it is forgotten, and none of us are going to talk about how Pain and Gain was Michael Bay's best movie. And Lords of Salem comes out, and again, nobody sees the movie. I don't even think it's made $1 million yet. Nobody sees it, but all of a sudden, Rob Zombie even talked about this. He was on, I think, the Nerdist podcast, and even talked about it. Now people come up to him, and they're talking about, oh man, yeah, Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses, I love those movies. And his response is always like, well, where the fuck were you when House of a Thousand Corpses was out, and I was vilified as making this horrible, horrible thing that nobody saw and nobody liked? And we all have sort of a tendency to rewrite history. When Iron Man 3 came out, all of a sudden, Iron Man 2, which has a lot of problems, but was a big hit, and which, when it came out, people were like, eh, it's not great, but it's good, and we like Iron Man. Now, all of a sudden, Iron Man 2 is garbage. And I'm all for history providing some perspective, but I just feel like we have such short-term memories now.
And we've talked about this ad nauseum about horror fans who will go to remakes and sequels and sequels and sequels, and then something new comes out, like Cabin in the Woods and Lords of Salem. Oh, no, it's like kryptonite. It's like we're holding the crucifix up to them, and they're vampires. Could the same be said? You're much more familiar with the, I believe it's called, the Transformers franchise than I am.
Not sure.
But the first one comes out. It's hailed as the greatest movie ever made by everyone who saw it. I still remember that summer because I deliberately didn't go. And people's reactions to that film drove you crazy that summer.
Yes.
And then the second one comes out.
Yes.
Well, wait, let's start again at the beginning. Transformers is shit. But it makes all the money of small third world countries' GDPs. And then the second one comes out, and the second one's shit, and people don't like the second one. But it still makes a lot of money.
More money than the first, I believe.
Very important to remember.
Yeah.
But people's bad taste in their mouth extends to the third one, and the third one doesn't make as much money, but people hail it. It's the same thing as the Iron Man thing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so much better than the shit that was part two.
Right.
This shit is more fragrant.
Yes.
The chunks of corn are larger.
And now they're going to make a fourth one. Even though, again, you'd be really hard-pressed to find somebody who likes two of them. I mean, again, I think a lot of people still really like the first one, which I will never understand. But they're just going to keep making them. The second movie, which is still, I think, one of the worst sort of big-budget Hollywood blockbusters. If you're talking about movies on that scale, that's one of the worst ever made. Had Avatar not come out that year, I think that would have been the highest grossing movie of 2009. And it's a movie that not one person liked. Everyone saw it. No one liked it. Let's make two more.
Either it's a herd mentality or it makes me feel really, really old. Because the other day I was on Box Office Mojo, which is such a fun site. And I was looking at the top 25 grossing films of all time, not adjusted for inflation. And with the exception of the Harry Potter films, it's, wow.
Yeah.
I guess my taste is not everyone's taste.
Well, again, not adjusted for inflation, though, I think is a very
inaccurate
number.
We should also mention, before we move on to the future, because that is where we will spend the rest of our lives, I saw Room 237 because I had read rapturous reviews. And years earlier, I had read a piece on the internet that I have never been able to find again, where someone looked at the film in terms of numbers and as a mathematical puzzle. And it was fascinating to me. And I saw it on pay-per-view and hated it. And my family and I watched it together, and we sort of hooted at how awful it was and what it wasn't. And then Adam posted his review, and I was like, oh, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I'm not alone, because it's The Emperor's New Clothes. Considering what that film could have been, which a lot of critics are insisting it is, but it's not, that by focusing so narrowly on people's individual, personal, tunnel vision view of movies, it missed out on being a movie about some really cool interpretations of that film, which are out there. Adam found them on the internet.
Right. Again, it could have been just a bigger picture movie about not just interpretations of The Shining, but about the way that movies can mean different things to each of us. And that's, and that's what people are saying the movie is.
Which is not. The movie's a parade of kooks.
Right. And now, it's certainly in our community, it's led to this thing where everyone's afraid to... I mean, not really afraid, but more than one person has sort of made a joke, and I've made the joke myself about, are we room 237-ing it? Somebody in the comments coined that. Because now, all of a sudden, we're afraid to read into a movie, because now are we just being kooks? And that's upsetting.
There was no other movie that I was looking forward to more. Especially because it played festivals, and you heard about it, but you couldn't see it. And I would say so far this year, that's the biggest disappointment.
For me, what would be the biggest disappointment? I don't know. I can't even say A Good Day to Die Hard because my expectations were not high enough. But that's probably one of the worst movies I've seen this year.
I skipped that one.
Rightfully so.
And that 2 hours of my life I keep in a little box. And at the end of my life, I'm going to redeem that for 2 more hours so I can finally avenge my enemies.
Oh, I was going to say, with those last 2 hours, you should watch A Good Day to Die Hard.
Ooh. Goes for the O. Henry-like ironic twist.
That's how I do. So we move into the future, and...
So I checked the internets.
Yeah.
And I think I got to a pretty good site that was showing what was coming out. Because, man, it got down to those obscure films that even though they're opening, there's quotation marks around opening, I was wondering, how many theaters will this be in? So, I don't know if you want to talk about the rest of the year or just the summer. What else are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, you had talked about the herd mentality of the Transformers movies, and I think summer sort of engenders a little bit of that because it's summer and we want to go to the movies, and the marketing is such that we feel like, well, we have to go see these movies. So as I look at what's coming up, I almost feel sort of relieved where I think, oh, here's a week I can skip, even though I don't really want to skip. Like, if I could go to a movie every weekend, I would. So it's not like movies are work and I don't want to go, but there's a weekend where, like, the only movie coming out really is The Internship with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
My God.
And my immediate response is, great, I don't have to go see that.
And to a great extent, that was last weekend.
With
because you didn't want to see Gatsby.
I felt comfortable skipping Gatsby.
More than comfortable, sir.
I mean, just in the next 2 weeks, we have the Star Trek sequel, which I'm excited about. However, my excitement has turned to...
Dread?
Not dread, caution. I got a bad feeling about it.
I know how much you liked the original reboot.
Yeah, it's fun, you know? And
he was higher than a kite, ladies and gentlemen.
I really was.
I was there.
And maybe some of that was that that movie was sort of this antidote to The Dark Knight, which is a movie I like, but that movie's so, like, gritty realism, and then here comes Star Trek, which is like, look, summer movies can be fun and colorful. And we've had a little bit more of that, so I don't feel like this one is going to be the change of pace that the original was. Also, they want to go darker.
Right, which seems...
With the title and all.
Which seems odd for the second one. Yeah. Really? You're going to make the turn?
I have a bad feeling about it, and if I'm right, I will have a lot of things to say about it, so maybe look for a column
and that
next
opens...
week. That opens the day after this comes out, because they moved it up a day. So actually, if you want to see it in 3D IMAX, it opens the day this podcast comes out, which is Wednesday. If you can wait a day, you can see it in 2D. They moved it up a day from Friday.
Because I know Oblivion, they were showing it Thursday night.
Yeah.
And if you opted for IMAX, it was at 8.
Yeah.
Which, it's not midnight anymore.
And honestly, if they were showing Star Trek Into Darkness in IMAX and not 3D, I'd be all over it opening night. But I don't want to see it in 3D. And then the following weekend, we have The Fast and the Furious 6, which I know you could care less about.
You're a fan of the series.
I'm crazy excited.
I know.
I see that trailer comes on and I'm like, why isn't that showing now? So many people jumping from one car to another.
We are now defining the difference between JB and Patrick. Great Gatsby weekend, gotta be there. Fast and Furious 6, taking the weekend off.
By the way, I only like maybe half of the Fast and Furious movies. There are several that I think are no good, but I'm excited about it, because I really liked the last one, and this looks to be more of the same, so we'll see. Also out that weekend is The Hangover Part 3, which I will need to see for work-related reasons, but I'm not looking forward to.
Much like The Hangover 2.
Yes. Did you see The Hangover 2?
Eventually.
Okay.
I skipped it in theaters.
Yeah.
Much later, caught it on cable.
Yeah.
And agreed with what everyone said, mostly, it's the exact same thing in a different locale. It's kind of dark and ugly. And I think we've talked about this to death, and I so appreciate that Doug first posted the trailer. I am not a shy, retiring man. I am not easily offended. But the thing in the trailer with the giraffe, I just...
No, it's funny, because it is dead. And...
Well, yeah, and what is their excuse? Well, you don't actually see...
In the trailer, who knows what we'll get in the movie from the CGI giraffe. No, it's... Okay, here's why it's funny. There's this giraffe that was alive, right? But now he's dead.
This reminds me, and I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast before, Patrick used to have this theory about the Scary Movie franchise, where all of the trailers and TV commercials were a series of people getting hurt.
Yeah.
Because that's an obvious punch.
It was,
sound effect.
Well, and it wasn't even necessarily the scary movies. It was that other run of like epic movie and disaster.
Right.
Those the scary films. Movie knockoffs, if you can imagine.
Oh my god!
And it was that they would introduce like someone from pop culture and then hurt them.
And then hurt them.
That was the formula. Here's Kim Kardashian, and we drop a piano on her.
And so, killing a giraffe, which is a beautiful, harmless animal, becomes a beat
right.
in the trailer.
Right. And every time I see the trailer in theaters, people are laughing at the end.
Oh.
Every time.
My God.
So that movie's going to do just fine. Again, even though no one liked the second one, no one liked it, everyone will go see the third one.
As a fan of Zach Galifianakis as a stand-up, I'm glad that he has some money now.
Sure. He needs to make better movies.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens because that comes out the same weekend as Fast and Furious 6, and those movies have the same audience. So I'm wondering how much it's going to split them.
I've read research that suggests that in a male-female couple, it's the female who decides.
Okay.
And
I think they go Fast and Furious 6, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, see, so you're...
I could be wrong.
I thought they'd go for The Hangover, maybe. But I see your point.
Yeah. There's that Vin Diesel, he's a hunk, I guess is
right,
what I'm saying.
But Bradley Cooper
That's not
is...
what I'm saying. He's not a hunk.
Right, but it's women seem to like him.
Yeah, well, sure. Beyond May, I don't know. I'm looking forward to Superman. I feel comfortable skipping the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Which one is that?
After Earth.
Oh,
all of the marketing has hidden the fact that that's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Well, they should.
A lot of CGI animals apparently in that movie. And again, I feel like we're not there yet. Maybe, they don't look convincing, and so if we can't do it yet, maybe don't do it as much.
Which is weird, because they did a pretty good job of it in Jumanji, and that was a long time ago.
Oh, have you watched Jumanji lately?
Oh, it dates?
Oh, boy.
Oh, does really?
It. Oh, my gosh. It's like someone holding up little stick puppets.
Okay.
It does not, the CGI doesn't hold up.
I got a bad feeling about Man of Steel
yeah.
for two reasons. Number one, that Brandon Routh thing.
Sure.
And I think I've told the story before. I actually saw, what was that called?
I'm not sure.
The Zack Snyder.
Sucker Punch?
This is Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
I Made Usual Suspects.
Bryan Singer?
The Bryan Singer Superman.
Yeah, the Brandon Routh one.
I saw that in Tucson at a drive-in.
Okay.
In 110 degree heat.
Eww.
And you can't run the air conditioning because you gas everyone around you.
Right, right, right.
So, A, it was not hospitable conditions to see a movie. And I volunteered to go get my family snacks during that sequence where he saves the airplane.
The only good scene in the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, that put a bad taste in my mouth, but here's the problem.
I saw it in cool air conditioning and I still didn't like it.
It seems as if they want all the superheroes to go dark now.
Yeah.
And that's not Superman.
I agree, but some of the new marketing...
Superman is not Batman.
No, I agree. And I had concerns when this was first announced, and the Nolans are involved, and then we saw the first trailer where it's just Deadliest Catch, and he's a longshoreman, and there's moody music playing, and I thought, this isn't Superman. The latest run of marketing has me more excited. I think it looks more like Superman than I had initially thought, but who knows?
So there's other things coming out this summer that I I think at least look interesting. And now Patrick's going to save JB some money by talking me out of going to see these films.
All right.
The Purge.
Interesting premise.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me. So no one commits crime because they get to do it one night a year? Okay, but I'll buy it because it looks interesting.
That is the film that my students are most interested in seeing this summer.
Interesting.
Hands down. And they all say the same thing. Great premise. But I wonder, are they sociopaths? And this is just their chance for $12 to see what they want every night to be like if they ran the zoo.
Maybe. I will say that I'm a little tired of the, there's people with masks and they want to break in my house.
Yes.
Conceit. Because later this summer we have You're Next.
Right.
Which I really want to see.
That's coming out August 23rd.
Because it's gotten crazy good buzz.
Is that the end of the summer?
Maybe.
You're very good at identifying. The beginning of the summer was Iron Man 3.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, what's the end of the summer?
When does The World's End come out?
I don't have that on my list.
How could you not? That's the new Edgar Wright movie. How could you not have that on your list?
Oh.
That's one that I'm very excited about.
Is that in August?
Yeah, sometime in August. It was moved up from October.
It's interesting that if you look at...
Because, you know, the last Edgar Wright movie did so well in August.
Yeah. if you look at it... my wife has this theory, I don't know if we've ever discussed it on the podcast, that lately there are too many movies with the same premise, and the premise is the world keeps ending and we hate ourselves. She should copyright that. That it's become such a well-worn thing that this summer we have two comedies coming out about it. This is the End.
Which, this is going to get confusing.
I have such high hopes for that.
I will refer to something that you have said before. It will be the engine or the caboose.
Yes. The trailer, though, seems so up its own ass about what it is. So at the beginning of the summer, or near the beginning of the summer, we have This Is the End.
Right.
And then at the end of the summer, we have the Edgar Wright film.
Right.
Which
I fear, the first trailer just came out, and I fear is going to suffer a little bit of backlash because parts of it look similar to that movie from last summer, The Watch. And nobody wants to see The Watch again.
So, much like you said, there's going to be a split audience the weekend that Hangover 3 and Fast and Furious 6 comes out.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'll have a split on June 7th when The Purge and Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing comes out.
The Purge, I believe, is May 31st.
They moved it up.
I believe so.
The website I went to lied to me.
So The Purge is up against Now You See Me.
Oh, my God.
I'm a little bit curious. I'm a little bit curious. I might go see it, is my point.
It looks like a pilot for a bad NBC hour-long drama.
I think maybe an animated movie comes out that weekend, and also in very limited release, which means we won't get it for another month, Before Midnight.
Right. And I will now admit, my problem with that is I'm going to have to do some homework.
Have you not seen the first thing?
Either.
No
either
kidding.
Of them.
Oh, you would be
and
excited.
And they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Would I like them?
I think so.
Wrong. My son just saw the trailer for Much Ado About Nothing, and he didn't think it boded well. But, of course, I'm the Shakespeare guy, and I love Shakespeare, and I like the idea of him just filming it at his house.
With his friends.
With friends.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a really great play that's really, really funny when Kenneth Branagh isn't directing it. I later saw Much Ado About Nothing at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier, where they did it in such a way that it explained what Branagh had gotten wrong. It's like, oh, that's what that's supposed to be. Because in Branagh's version, Michael Keaton is like channeling Monty Python, and it doesn't work at all, and it's awful. In any case, This Is the End comes out June 12th.
Yeah.
Man of Steel comes out June 14th. Bling Ring.
Yeah, the new Sofia Coppola is another one. There's weekends where three things come out that I want to see, and there's weekends where no things come out that I want to see.
Or will Bling Ring be simply a remake of Spring Breakers?
Perhaps. I wonder if it will.
Now, here's a film I'm guessing you have no desire to see and probably won't.
Okay.
But I saw the Long trailer.
Okay.
And the Lone trailer. And I was intrigued because when I was a very small child, I used to watch The Lone Ranger on TV and I thought it was cool. the trailer for this movie is so cartoonish. He jumps a horse onto a train, and the horse is running through the train, and there's no gravity. And my wife has this penchant now when Disney puts out a new film that her theory is the films now only exist to shore up attendance at one of the lands of the Magic Kingdom where they're experiencing. So when the Lone Ranger trailer's over, she says Frontierland gets a bump this summer.
Yeah, right.
And then ever since Pirates hit, that's the synergistic marketing they're trying.
And I wonder if we'll see a little bit less of that now that they own Marvel and Star Wars, that those will sort of take care of some of that. I don't know. The Lone Ranger, all of the trailers annoy me because it looks needlessly expensive. Johnny Depp, I've grown tired of. Helena Bonham Carter doing Helena Bonham Carter, I've grown tired of.
Johnny Depp with more white makeup and a funny voice.
Yeah. However, I will see the movie because I am an unapologetic fan of the first three Pirates movies. I know everybody likes the first one. I actually like the second two as well, and this is Gore Verbinski again, so I'll see it.
Oh, I didn't realize he was directing.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'll definitely go.
Yeah.
He's the reason I want to go. Besides the fact that I have affection for the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
So I don't have dates on some of these.
That's okay.
I know you're, you fill in the adjective, kick-ass too.
I'm cautiously optimistic. That's August sometime.
August 16th.
Yeah.
I am not a fan of Jim Carrey.
Right.
With apologies to Adam Brisky. what he seems to be doing in Kick-Ass 2 looks like something I really want to see.
Yeah.
That looks really funny.
I'll be sad if they totally screw it up, because again, you and I are big fans of the first one.
Right. VHS 2 is coming out, because VHS left so many unanswered questions.
It's supposed to be incredible. Early buzz from festivals.
How does that work? That we had to suffer through the first one to...
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. They got better filmmakers, I think, this time. The guy who did The Raid is doing one.
Although, to be quite honest, Patrick and I did a podcast on this at his suggestion, and that was so far outside of my comfort zone. If you look at the podcasts I've done, here's John with the 50-year-old movies again, with the moving picture show.
It was a horror movie.
True.
And we kind of did that because it was October, and we don't often get to do new horror movies in October. I would like to do a podcast on VHS 2, which will make less sense in the middle of summer, but let's do it anyway.
I will gladly go see that.
Thank you. I'll watch it on video on demand.
And then there's Grown Ups 2.
Which I'll have to see. And then kill myself.
I would like you to see it and then summarize it for me in two sentences.
I will poo at your feet.
Onto the phone. A film called Lovelace comes out August 9th. And there, for a while, there were competing Linda Lovelace films going on. But I think one of them never got made.
Correct.
But this one stars Amanda...
Seyfried?
And looks like it might be interesting because I've actually read her autobiography. And it's fascinating what her take on things were many years later when she was... It's a fascinating story. And Skarsgård is in it.
Stellan? Peter?
Peter.
Alexander? Sars. Sars, not Skarsgård. Got it.
Shattered Glass, Peter.
Got it. Green Lantern, Peter Sarsgaard.
Oh, boy.
The porn industry is a fascinating subject. So few movies...
I can think of one.
...get it right. Because when I read about... I haven't seen a trailer yet. When I read about Lovelace, I immediately think of Wonderland.
Yeah.
Which was no good.
No.
Fascinating story. Not a good movie.
And Val Kilmer tries, and I actually liked what's-her-name in it.
Kate Bosworth?
No.
Oh.
I'll Be There for You.
What? Oh, Lisa Kudrow.
Yes.
Yes, I forgot she was in that.
Yeah. She's the stalwart wife.
The nagging shrew.
And finally, proof that it's the end of civilization as we know it.
Yeah.
Because if you thought Great Gatsby was going to spin your head around about a beloved literary property... Get ready for next Christmas. Ben Stiller directs and stars in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I hold that short story close to my heart. It's Thurber. Thurber and Stiller. He's knocking his index fingers together.
He's making an upside down triangle. It's that movie has been. They have tried to make that movie. I mean, I know they made it once before.
Yeah.
This new incarnation they have been making for years, and it's one of those that it goes through every like hot comedian. So it starts with Jim Carrey, and then it's Will Ferrell. Confederacy of Dunces kind of has done the same thing, where it's almost gotten started 8 different times.
And I don't know if you've ever read Confederacy of Dunces. I would so like to see a film version of that, because half of the comedians who were attached to it, there was a short period of time where they were thinking Belushi.
It was Belushi, then it was John Candy, it was Chris Farley, it was the most recent, I think, was Will Ferrell. David Gordon Green was going to make it with Will Ferrell.
It's you've read the book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm a real fan of the book.
Me too, but I think it's...
unfilmable?
Yeah, kind of. And again, people have made movies out of unfilmable books. I mean, The Great Gatsby, brilliant. Is my point. It's brilliant.
Yeah, that and, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty is such a beautiful, simple premise.
Yeah.
How can you screw it up? But apparently in this version, he's a photojournalist.
Good. Already better.
Well, no. Worse. Much Wait, worse.
That's the opposite of what I said.
And I was reading the plot synopsis. In the middle, the minute I got to photojournalist, I was like, okay.
But maybe he's a photojournalist like whose kid feels like he works too much. Maybe that's a thing, because that's every
oh my god
family comedy. There's stuff that I'm excited about. There's big movies I'm excited about. There's small movies I'm excited about, but nothing that...
Here's something I'm excited about. The weather is getting warmer. Soon it will be summer, and I will have some time off of work.
That'll be good. I expect it to be more exciting. I mean, we're days away from the new Star Trek movie coming out. I really thought I would, like, not be able to sleep, and I'm okay. So, I...
Really?
Yeah, I just...
Wow.
I in theory, should be super excited about it, and I'm not. So, I'm getting older, I'm more jaded, I don't know, more stuff to watch at home? Who knows? I'll be at the movies all summer, and we'll be doing podcasts on a bunch of these.
Speaking of stuff to watch at home, a quick shout-out. I purchased a Roku streaming player, which I'm enjoying, and one of the things you can get on that I don't think is available anywhere else is Warner Archive, that's been putting out these obscure movies on DVD, manufacture on demand, has started a streaming service, Warner Archive Streaming. It's something. I've been liking me likey obscure Warner Brothers titles. Dear Warner Brothers, please provide me with the streaming service for free.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with some big, dumb summer movie.
And so, F this movie beats on, like boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past.
Great Gatsby or Jay-Z?
Secret Life of Walter Mitty.